to Psalms 92. We're going to read the entire chapter, really focus on just a few verses there. But as in studying this, I come across something in reference to the first verse. But as they were singing, I thought about this. There's a long dead theologian had a saying. He said, "Come, let us sing a psalm and drive away the devil." You know, you think about that. I tell you what, I don't know about driving away the devil, but I believe those songs help prepare our hearts to receive His Word. I tell you, I've preached in a lot of places where there wasn't any singing. And I thank the Lord to be able to gather together and sing psalms. You know, there's some denominations that believe that we ought not to sing. I tell you, I don't know where in the world they get that from. The Bible's full of it. Full of singing and praising God and all that. But if you found any place, Psalms 92, we'll ask you to stand. We'll read, as I said, the entirety of the chapter. We're going to focus on just a few verses there. We'll work through the other ones to get to where we're going. But it says in Psalms 92, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in thy work, the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Let's pray. God, we thank You for this evening that You've given us. Lord, I thank You for everyone that's been able to join with us here tonight. Lord, we pray for Brother Mark as he's sick and not be able to be with us. Lord, we pray that You would touch him, God, and heal him, Lord, to allow him to come back and to preach to us like never before. God, I pray, Lord, now as we look into Your Word for just a few minutes, God, that You would take it. Lord, You would use it. Let us not only hear the words that are said, but take Your Word and apply it to our lives so that we would live lives that are pleasing unto You. God, we thank You for all that You're doing. God, I pray most of all, if there's one under the sound of our voice, Lord, that's lost, God, that they would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, we thank You for all that You're doing, for it's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. The 92nd Psalm here, if you read in the margin of your Bible, you'll find that it says, "A Psalm for the Sabbath Day." A Psalm for the Sabbath Day. And you know, I know that if you study the Old Testament, you study the Bible, the Sabbath, of course, for them was Saturday. But you know, we have Sunday set aside to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I ain't going to get in an argument with nobody, but let me lay it out for you like this. I worship God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ rose from the dead on that Sabbath day. I tell you what, we are worshiping God through Him. And I believe that Sunday is the day that we should worship. The Sunday is the day that we should come together and celebrate His victory over death and hell and the grave. But we see here, whenever we gather together, whenever we come into this place, I believe so many times we do it sometimes out of habit. We come in here and we come in because it's Sunday, or because it's Sunday night, or we come in because it's Wednesday night. But do you know it is such a blessing to be able to come into God's house? If you don't believe it, just spend a week or two being sick or unable to. I tell you what, I love being here with y'all. The other Wednesday night I was sick, and I promise you, I'd rather been right here with y'uns. Y'all wouldn't have wanted me here, though. But it's a blessing to be able to come into God's house. The scripture that we read tonight starts out with this: it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. You know, I think it's good when we come in and we hear God praise and we hear His name lifted up. I don't know about y'all, but it does me good to hear what God's doing in your life. Hear folks thank the Lord. You know, I'm all for giving prayer requests, and I believe that we ought to give prayer requests and make our requests known. And as Christians, we should share one another's burdens. But let me tell you what, it does me a lot of good, too, to hear somebody stand up and say, I just want to thank the Lord for what He's done. I just want to thank God for what He's doing in my life or what He's done in my life. I tell you what, I like the optimism when people say, I thank God for what He's going to do in my life. Because, you know, the God that I serve is not a God of yesterday or just today, but He's the God of tomorrow as well. You know what? I believe there's a lot of promises that He'll give us that we can claim today. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It says, and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. I tell you what, hearing His name lifted up. You know what? There's a lot of folks out there today, and they'll sing about everything in the world except Jesus. You know, and all of us, you know, music gets stuck in your head. I'm gonna do something. Y'all gonna think it's mean because y'all gonna go home singing it tonight. But how many of you have ever, from years ago, somebody mentioned this at work the other day. Y'all remember there used to be a car wash in Asheville that had a commercial that come on, and they kept singing 329 Merriman Avenue 3. It gets stuck in your head. Somebody mentioned that the other day. For 3 days, I went around singing that address. They ain't even there no more. People will sing about anything. People will sing about whatever. People make millions of dollars singing about things that don't matter. But God gives us opportunity when we come into His house to sing praises unto Him. Now, I tell you what, I think it's very clear there, we're to sing praises unto Thy name. You know, we're not to come in to sing so that we would look good. We're not to come in to sing so that people would look at us. But the reason we're doing that, we're singing praises unto God. You know what? If you're more concerned about how you look or how you sound than what it is that you're doing, you got your priorities in the wrong place. We're to sing praises unto His name. We're to show forth His loving kindness in the morning and faithfulness every night. It says, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. I don't believe there's anything in the world wrong with music in God's house. Right. You know, I tell you, and like I said, you can find a denomination that has any idea that you want to come up with. There's ones that think you shouldn't play any instruments in God's house. But here we find this talked about on the Sabbath day. I believe God's pleased with us lifting up His name and singing unto Him and using the instruments to do so. But you see, we go on to realize what it's about in the next few verses. It says in verse 4, for Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work. I will triumph in Thy works of Thy hands. O Lord, how great are Thy works, and Thy thoughts are very deep. Boy, I tell you what, the psalmist here is not talking about anything that he has done, but he's talking about what God has done. Amen. You know, a lot of folks, you ever met somebody that within just a few minutes of meeting them, they're going to tell you all the things that they have done? All the things that they have accomplished, all the places that they have been, and all the things that they've done in their life. But here the psalmist, by the way, from everything that I can read and study and agree with this, believe it was the psalmist David who wrote it. You know, think of all the things he could have said about the battles that he had fought, or all of this, or all the majesty that he had. But instead, he's talking about God. He says, for Thou hast made me glad through Thy work. You know, what it is that God has done. I think every one of us, if we were to stop now and consider, think about what works God has done in your life. Think about where God has brought you from and where God has got you to, and greater than that, where He's taken you. You know, we need to realize it's about Him. It's about what He's done. It's about His hands, His works, not our own. it goes on to talk about a brutish man and a fool. They don't understand these things. It says there in the seventh verse about the wicked, they spring up as grass. You know, grass is something that I ain't never had nobody buy one or two seeds. You buy a bag full of it, don't you? You it gets spread everywhere, doesn't it? And man, when it comes up, it comes up. You know, out here they cleared the land out there, and here even in the wintertime they spread that grass, and man, it's green as can be. It's come out of nowhere, it seems like. You know, you go in and you clear a piece of ground. Many times if you don't even sow the grass seed, there's seed there, finds its way there, and it begins to grow. But you see, in this scripture here, when it's describing the wicked, it describes them as grass. You know, the wicked, it says, spring up as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. You know, this is in contrast to what you find later that we're really going to focus on and look at. You know, grass is something that usually isn't very long-lasting. Grass is something that, you know, I tell you what, I'm not exactly the best at growing stuff, and I can kill a lot of things. And you know what? Grass can be killed. I promise you it can. You cut it too low. You don't give it enough water. You do all these things. You can kill it out. And we see here he describes the wicked as that grass. But as we go on down and we look at these other things, where I really want us to get to and what I want us to look at is down there in the verses about the righteous. In verse number 12, you see he describes the wicked as grass. You know, in number, they're plenteous, aren't they? You know, you go out there, go in your yard and count the number of blades of grass. Come back next week and tell me what you come up with. You know, I could do that real easy. I ain't got no yard. So it wouldn't take me long. But the rest of you, it might take you a while to count those blades. They're everywhere and they seem to come out of nowhere. But you know, a tree's a little something different, isn't it? Trees many times are very intentionally planted. Trees are not planted for just today or just this season, but trees are planted for a lifetime, really. You know, I know a fella had a piece of land, and he went in and the land was pretty well cleared, and he went in and planted a certain type of tree that's worth a lot of money. And somebody asked him about that. He says, "Oh, I'll never cut these trees, but my grandkids will." You know what? He was looking ahead. He was intentional with that tree. That tree was something that was going to be long-lasting, something that had value, something that mattered. And we see here as the righteous are described, they're described as trees. It says in the 12th verse, it says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." You know, that's very different from a piece of grass. You know, now here's the thing of it. That grass will grow a lot quicker. That grass is more in number, but when it comes to lasting, when it comes to being there, you know, so many times we look around us in the world and we see the wicked prospering and we think, "Lord, why is this?" Just wait, because their prosper will not last forever. Their wealth won't last forever. All the what seems like good coming to them won't last forever. But we as the righteous of God, we're like a tree. We're like that palm that is planted. We're like that cedar that is in Lebanon. You know, both of those are trees that, like I said, you don't plant them today and harvest them tomorrow. But it takes a while. And these trees, too, it's not any accident that these two trees are the ones referenced here. You know, a palm tree, we ain't got many of them in these parts, in case you didn't know it. And, you know, what I always thought of as a palm tree really is a palmetto tree. A palm tree, though, it's amazing what they can withstand. You know, they can withstand a hurricane. And you know the reason that they withstand that hurricane is because they can bend. It's because they can lean over. You know, me and Kelly, a few years ago, we went down into Florida. I don't know why, but we went down into Florida for our anniversary. It really was nice, but we've seen palm trees there and looked at those, and Kelly got this big idea that she wanted to have coconut water out of this coconut, that it was going to be so good. How was that, Kelly? "It was horrible," she said. Let me tell you what, it wasn't that good. I questioned buying a coconut out of the back of a feller's truck anyway. But anyway, those palm trees there, many of them that you've seen were very tall and straight and beautiful. but others were leaned over. You know why? Because they had bent the way that they needed to survive. They had done what they needed to flourish and to survive and to keep moving forward. Do you know, we many times, we want to think that we're some oak or something like that, but many times we might have to not compromise, so to speak, but we might have to weather a storm. We might have to go through something that we don't have to go through. And when it's all over and done with, we might look a little different than we did before. You know, that palm tree, they can withstand all of those things. But also, you see, the psalmist here describes the righteous as that cedar of Lebanon. You know, that cedar of Lebanon, man, what a tree. In case you didn't know, that's a whole lot of what the temple was built out of, was those cedars. They were prized for their strength. They were prized for their lumber. And has anybody ever been around a cedar tree much? They're fragrant as well. Do you know what I believe as Christians? We ought to have a fragrance. We ought to, people ought to just be able to tell when they get around us. You know, a lot of folks, unless they just said that they're a Christian, you might not ever know it. But we ought to just exude it. We ought to live in a way that everyone around us would know that we're a Christian. But here it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know, when we think about that, I believe too, God puts folks together. And here, as we said, we're looking at us as trees. It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You know, you think about that. And in thinking of that, here's the thought that I want us to have when it comes, I guess, to church and us worshiping together. You know, I believe God puts people together. I believe that the people He puts together will comprise local New Testament churches. I don't believe that God puts them together haphazardly or without reason. I believe God fits them together and puts them together. I was telling them in the Sunday school class this morning, as the Lord led us away from the church that we had pastored for 11 years and we were visiting around, do you know what? We found a lot of good churches. We found some that we were one and done, to be honest with you, too. Hey, some of them out there. But the thing is, just because the church was a good church didn't mean it was the one for us. It didn't mean that was where God wanted us to be. Do you know, when God puts people together, and I know many of you here have went here for a long time, and sometimes when you're in a church for a long period of time, you sometimes forget how special things are or how great that God is in putting things together. But just like those trees, I believe God plants us together. He says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Do you know, I believe it is God's will that we as Christians are planted in the house of the Lord. I believe God doesn't have for us to go from here to there to wherever, but He puts us together with other people. You know, there's a lot of folks today that really have a problem with really getting involved in a church. You know, there's a lot of folks that I know, good friends of mine, that they will attend church here and they will attend church there. And they may even go somewhere pretty regular, but they don't really want to get invested in it. They want to go to services. They want to go and do this or that or whatever. But when it really comes to getting invested in churches, a lot of people don't want to do that. You know, there's kind of two things that it comes down to. And really, I guess those ones that they're Christians, they believe in the Lord, that they have accepted Him, but they don't want to get in there and they don't want to become part of that local New Testament church. They're kind of like a container Christian, I'd call them. They don't want to be planted together. They want to be in their container. They want to be by themselves in their microcosm, because guess what? Then they can control what they want to. You know, a lot of people do that so that they don't get hurt. A lot of people do that so that they don't have to do this, that, or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that shy away from churches. You talk to them and they'll say, well, I used to do this and I used to do that, and I just got hurt in church. And let me tell you, it happens sometimes. But let me tell you, I believe that what we're to do is to be planted in the house of the Lord. You know, you think about trees that are planted together. To some degree, they rely upon each other. You say, well, how is that? Well, it's not necessarily in the ways that you see. If we were to go out here in the woods and you look and go, there's a tree, there's a tree, there's a tree, there's a tree. And we see them growing what seems like independent of each other. But if you were able to look below the ground, do you know what their roots do? They tangle all together. Do you know what that helps them to do? To stand when the storm comes. You take a tree that's planted all by itself somewhere and you let a storm come through versus a tree that's planted with others, a tree that is rooted and grounded together with other trees. And I promise you, those that are bound together are going to fare those storms a lot better than those that are on their own. Another thing, those container Christians, anyone's ever bought tomato plants in the spring? Lord love my little mama, but she loves to get anything on sale. And she'll buy a tomato plant that's got one leaf left on it, and it looks like you need to have a funeral for it or a ceremony or bury it or something. But she'll be, I got this thing for 10 cents. And I say, why? But you know, many times those that have sat there a long time like that, when you take them out of that container, they're root bound. You know what? They've just grown upon themselves. They don't have any strength. They're almost dead. But you know what I like? You take that one that's been hurt, that one that's been mistreated, that one that's suffered something, and you put them in the right soil, in the right location, and boy, they can flourish too. You know, a lot of times as Christians, when there's a fellow Christian hurt or a fellow Christian out or away, you know what a lot of churches and a lot of folks want to do? They want to do like I wanted to with them tomato plants, just chunk them and be done with them. But do you know what I believe the Lord would have us to do? To care for them, to tend them, to get them planted, to get them rooted, to get them grounded. Because it says there, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Christian, there's the secret. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Get serious about the house of God. Do you know a lot of folks, two main reasons that people don't get serious about the house of God. One, they're scared to death of commitment. You don't believe it? Ask any Baptist to do anything. Amen. I've been one long as I can remember. I've preached in a lot of Baptist churches. And when it comes to commitment, we're scared. We don't want to commit to something. We don't want to give ourselves to something. I guess the best way to see that is come election time around the Baptist church. Ask somebody to take an office. Many times you'll get the, let me pray about it, preacher. You know, let me pray about that, preacher. You ask somebody to do something, let me pray about that. And I say that jokingly. I know we should be serious and prayerful in the things that we do. But let's don't be afraid to be committed to God's house. Let's don't be afraid to, you know, so many times we don't commit to something because we're afraid of failure. You know, so many times we say, well, I would do this, but I would do that, but let's just get serious and get committed about God's house. You know, I believe if we're a part of something, you know, we need to be a part of it. We need to take part in it and be part of it. Let's don't be afraid of commitment. But do you know another thing that keeps a lot of people out? A lot of people that keeps a lot of people from coming and joining up and really getting serious in God's house. They'll come in and they want to say, well, this person does this and that person does that and this one gets on my nerves and that one does this and I don't like the way they do this and that preacher don't let loose until 12:30 on Sunday and so I ain't going. We're judgmental. And you know, let me tell you this. I believe that we ought to be able to judge fruit and not bind ourselves with ones that aren't lined up with the Word of God. But let me tell you what. I read after one is talking about perfect churches. Said you're not going to find a perfect church. And if you did find that perfect church, as soon as you joined it, it wouldn't be perfect no more. Right? There's scripture over there that talks about us forbearing one another. The thing I like to say about that is this. What does it mean to forbear somebody? Put up with them. And you know, sometimes we just have to put up with each other. But do you know, I believe God puts us together and puts us in a place where we can be used. God puts us in a place where we fit together. You know, God puts us in a place where, I guess, whatever fruit it is that our life has, it can be used. I am glad that not everybody bears the same kind of fruit. I'm glad that not everybody has the same job to do. Not everybody has the same thing to do. If every single person in here was a singer and nobody in here was a teacher, what would we have? We'd have a lot of singing, wouldn't we? And boy, I'm all for singing. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. What if every one of us was a preacher? Oh, law. We'd never get nothing done. But the thing of it is, God has put us together in a way that we can be used of Him, in a way that we can support others, in a way that we can spread the gospel to those that are lost. Because at the end of the day, the support that we get from a church, the love that we get from a church, the worship that we get from the church, all of those things are great and there are benefits that we reap. But what is the mission of the church? The mission of the church is not to make you feel good. The mission of the church is not for you to enjoy this or to like that, but the mission of the church is to see lost people saved. That is what it's about. That is what the local New Testament church was instated for. That's why it was brought about. It was brought about not only to support each other, but to evangelize those that are lost. Folks, I tell you what, there is people in our communities every day that are dying and going to hell. You know, I heard somebody say one time, nowadays you can attend just about any funeral and based on the messages that you would hear preached there, nobody goes to hell no more. But let me tell you this, it's real simple. If they have never accepted Christ as Savior and they leave this world, they have but one place they can go, and that's hell. And that is a scary thing, and that is a sad thing to think that our friends and our families and our neighbors would suffer that fate, maybe because we will not evangelize them. We won't tell them about Jesus. I told them in Sunday school this morning, I said, McDowell County, you could probably knock on all the doors in McDowell County. You would probably find that at least 75% of people there would acknowledge the existence of God in some way, shape, or form. Folks, the battle's half over right there. Let me tell you something. This summer I considered a privilege to work with a fella from way across the waters. His concept of Christianity was essentially zero. And he began to talk to me, and I was able to share the gospel with him. Let me tell you, that is a difficult thing. But when you've got somebody that when you ask them, do you believe in God? Yeah, I sure do. What do you think about Jesus? Well, I've heard of Him. Like I said, you're halfway there with Him.
That's right. Amen.
Folks, God's put us in a place that souls can be won. God has put us in a place where people need to hear about Him. But we need to come into this place. We need to come into this place, worship Him, strengthen ourselves, become strong in Him, and then go out into the world around us. It says not only that we're like the palm tree, we're like the cedar, that those planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God, but it also says they shall bring forth fruit in old age. Boy, I tell you what, are we bringing forth fruit? When's the last time we seen one saved? When's the last time we led one personally to the Lord? Ask yourself those questions. When's the last time you were able to share the gospel with someone? You know, I tell you, I think it's important that we bear fruit. It says here not only that they'll bear it, but they'll bring forth fruit in old age. Boy, and I like this last one. I say I'm biblical in this, and they shall be fat and flourishing. The thing is, I believe God has something for Pinnacle Baptist Church to do. I believe that God's got something, like Mark said over the past few weeks, it's almost like we're on the cusp of something. It's like, and y'all going to think I'm crazy, but I think if we seen what God could do, man alive, what God could do. But do you know, I heard it described this way, a fellow said one time, God's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force Himself on anybody. He doesn't make us do anything, but He will allow us to. Folks, as Pinnacle Baptist Church, I believe God's got something amazing. But you know what we've got to do? Step out there. Be ready to go.
Amen.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. And Mark didn't pay me to say this. He might just ask you to do something that might make you a little uncomfortable. You know what you ought to do? Take that step. You know what I've heard a lot of folks say? You'll talk to them about witnessing. You'll say, hey, won't you go witnessing with me? Well, I ain't never done that. Well, I'm not really cut out for that. Have you tried? I got a feller I work with. I love him to death. We'll go out to eat, and there's certain types of food he just will not partake in. And I asked him one time, I said, how do you know you don't like it? He said, I just don't think I would. You know, a lot of Christians, when it comes to witnessing, they've never tried it. They've never went out there and tried that. Let me tell you, if we're sitting in our comfort zone all the time, and I'm not trying to be prophetic or anything like that, but if we're always in our comfort zone, we may not be doing what God would have for us to. Sometimes we might, you know, we've got the idea now in the United States that, oh, well, if you're a Christian, you go to church and you do this and that, everybody's going to love you all the time. That ain't the case. Folks, let me tell you, around this world, that ain't the case. There may be times that as we tell folks about the Lord that they don't want to hear it. Do you know what we do? Knock the dust off of our shoes and go to the next place. Because somebody needs to hear about it. You know, that's something. When is the last time we were able to tell somebody about Him? You know, I think it's wonderful back at the Christmas play. I know we had one come and get saved. Man, that is awesome. That tickles me to death. I tell you, it makes every minute of it worth it. But when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus yourself? Maybe at work, maybe with your friends. When's the last time you shared the gospel with them? You know, we as Christians, as I said, we're not like that grass. You know, the Bible says over in Isaiah about the grass, it says it withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let me tell you, today we're not that grass, but we're like that palm. We're like that cedar of Lebanon. You know, I believe that if we're planted in the house of the Lord, we shall flourish in the courts of our God. If we're planted together and brought together in the right way, I believe we're going to bring forth fruit even in our old age. I believe, as it says there, we'll be fat and flourishing. And all of this is to show that the Lord is upright. The psalmist ends with saying, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. That's the one that we're serving. That's the one that we're doing it for. Not for someone else, not for anybody else, but for Him. Folks, have you told anybody lately? Have you maybe, when it comes to the house of God, not really fully been invested? Have you not fully jumped in with both feet? You know, it's easy to find reasons not to. Like I said, sometimes we're afraid to commit to something. Sometimes we're afraid to get hurt. And you know, I can tell you this, and I love every one of you here. But you know what? If we get together long enough and we talk long enough, we're going to probably find something we disagree on. But I bet you we can agree on this. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We're to serve Him, follow Him, and work for Him. I tell you, it's a blessing to be able to be in God's house. As I said, just think, just right now, what it is that God may be wanting to do. God may be dealing with you right now about somebody that you need to speak to about Him. Maybe there's somebody that the Lord's laid on your heart to invite into God's house. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to talk to them, but be willing to tell them about Him. I'm going to ask y'all for just a few minutes to stand.